Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this May the 24th, 2022. 12 minutes past the hour here, WWGH radio time. You know, we have to take a quick break here. We will be right back. Well, maybe we'll take a quick break here. Maybe not. Well, that didn't work very well. We were going to step out here for a minute before our guest joins us. But it looks like this might not be working. Of course it wouldn't work. That would be too easy, wouldn't it? Okay, well, we'll come back to that later on. Do want to remind everybody of the Farmers Market kicking off in Caledonia here in the month of June. Every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., locally grown produce and fruit, locally produced baked goods, locally produced honey, locally produced meat, local artists and crafters. They are an authorized SNAP vendor, which is the food card. Weekly raffle for vendor products, weekly 50-50 raffle. Food vouchers for individuals 60 years of age and older. That starts in June. In Caledonia. We also have the fair coming up July 4th through July the 9th. That will be a little different this year with the fair starting on July the 4th. Hopefully the weather will be good. We always get one good rainstorm during the Marion County Fair. Pickle Festival down in Dayton, June 25th. Don't miss that. They say Miamisburg, but it's really kind of Dayton. And then we've got the dedication of Mary Ellen Withrow's Museum, 4 to 7 p.m. on June the 2nd. And that'll be a real historic event here in Marion, I think, because Mary Ellen has meant a lot to Marion, and that museum will be in the Historical Society for quite a long time. Don't forget Adam the Computer Guy today at 2:10 p.m. and Voice of a People with Linda Sims at 4:10 p.m. So lots of great programming here in Marion today. Tomorrow, of course, I'll be on tomorrow morning from 8 to 10, and Glenn and I will be on from 10 to 12. And then Glenn will be on from 12 to 1 with A Progressive Life. Hopefully the phone problems are fixed. I did go into the studio last week and hopefully fix those problems so we won't have those again. Then we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman from 4:10 to 5 p.m. All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I keep my refrigerator at 34 degrees.
34. See, they say under 40 is okay, so I'm going to have to check mine out.
Well, I like my pop cold.
Yeah, yeah. I got to check it out. If it's not under 40, I'm going to have to turn it down to under 40.
You know, 12-pack, I'll open up one end, and I'll stick that end I open up in the back.
Yeah.
And I had a friend get me a can of pop one time. He come in here, and he said, somebody put a 12-pack in there backwards. He said, I turned it around. I said, no. I said, it wasn't in there backwards. I said, it's in there for a reason.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, when it's set towards the back, it gets colder.
Well, and I think as long as you keep it above 32, there really should not be a problem with freezing, but...
Well, it freezes. See when the air comes in from the back, and if you have anything sitting back here, especially water, even a can of pop, sometimes if it's in there long enough, can freeze.
See, I don't know what that was. I'm not even saying it was mold in the whipped cream, because I can't think that it was mold, because
well,
it was...
cheese, you eat mold.
Yeah, well, that's what the thing basically said, is that if you ingest mold, it's not going to do anything to you. It might taste bad, and that's how you know it was mold. But the whipped cream did not taste bad, and it was only just this little spot in the bottom of the bowl. So I really don't know if it maybe was some of the Jell-O that I had put in there that had not dissolved, or if I don't know what it was, because it had not spread anywhere else. And the whipped cream tasted fine, and it was not watery it wasn't in a state where you would think, well, this isn't going to be good.
You know, the health department, they want things 41 degrees or below.
I have to see what...
45 degrees, but, you know, last several years it's been 41 and below.
I have got to find out exactly what my our refrigerator is set at, because if it's below 40, things should not be molding.
No.
And especially before the sell-by date. So I don't really know. That was just an odd occurrence, in my opinion. But you keep yours below that temperature.
Yeah, 34 degrees. Now, if you put the thermometer in the back here, it could be lower. But, you know, with the thermometer... I have it sitting in the door. When I open it up, I can check it. And when it sits in the door, it's 34 degrees.
Well, that's interesting. Now, how low can you turn down the refrigerator?
I don't know. It can still go lower.
Really? Lower than 34?
Yeah.
So you can turn your refrigerator part of your refrigerator freezer down to where it would actually be below freezing, below
it
what
won't
the...
It go much lower, but the knob will go a little bit lower.
Hmm.
You know, you talk about Arby's doing hamburgers.
Yeah.
Well, Hardee's, I used to think of that as a roast beef house. Well, they haven't done roast beef for a long time.
Really, they haven't done roast beef over at Hardee's. It's been so long since I've been to a Hardee's. I think
it's been 10 years or better since they've done their roast beef.
Now, isn't the closest Hardee's over in Bucyrus?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have not been to one in a long time. I guess when they were here in Marion years and years ago, I don't remember them being roast beef. Maybe they were. I don't remember that for some reason. I remember Rax being roast beef.
Yeah, Rax is basically a knockoff of Hardee's or Arby's.
Are there any Raxes left, or did that all go by the wayside?
There used to be one down in Delaware. But I'm not sure if it's still a Rax or not. But they used to have a Rax down in Delaware. Rax was like Bonanza was to Ponderosa.
Yeah. Well, I always thought the Rax did well here in town, but apparently it did not.
And I wonder how the hamburgers are going to go over for Arby's.
You know, I don't know. There's got to be a reason they're doing that after all these years. And I would think this is an odd time to go to a hamburger, because the price of meat is...
outrageous.
Yeah.
Well, they want to pull in every last dollar they can. Now, Arby's has, high-quality standards. You know, like Wendy's, they have a high-quality standard, you know, compared to different places like Rally's or something like that that has your low-quality standards, but... maybe they think they can, since they got a good quality standard, they can do a good burger too.
I don't know. I mean, would you get a hamburger from there, from Arby's?
Oh yeah, I'll try it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the price point will be. I don't know. I think it's interesting that they're going there. I don't know if that'll be one of those big things where they make a big deal about putting hamburgers on the menu, then all of a sudden it'll go by the wayside. I don't know how they'll do that.
I just like McDonald's. They've done so many things, and, you know, things went by the wayside all the time. I remember when they did their McPizza.
Yeah. Well, hey, I think we got a call. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right. Well, I thought we had a call coming in there. And as we continue on this morning here on WWGH Radio, 21 minutes past the hour, we visit, as we do every fourth or Tuesday, not Thursday, speeding up the week here. Every fourth Tuesday of the month with the mayor of the city of Marion, who is currently running for treasurer of the state of Ohio on the Democratic ticket, Mayor Scott Schertzer. Mayor, how are you?
I'm not the mayor.
Uh-oh, we had the mayor. I think we lost him.
You want me to get on here in case he comes back?
Yeah, let's hope well, go ahead real quick.
Well, I've asked you about this before, and this will be the last time, but when you said something about all the businesses coming to town and how they do so well, I thought, not really. Have you ever met anyone that's went to Red Roosters yet?
Well, they got to get the doors open first, then we might go in. Oh, there, I think the mayor's calling back.
Okay, toodles.
All right, technical difficulties galore here this morning. The mayor of the city of Marion, Mayor Scott Schertzer. Mayor, how are you?
I'm glad you're more of a technical guy than I am. I just hit the button that says redial.
Well, I'll tell you, it was funny this morning. We had all the rage that Arby's is going to get hamburgers now, so we were getting calls galore with people's opinion, and somehow I think the phone system got overloaded.
Wow. Crashing the system because Arby's is doing hamburgers. What was the general consensus from your callers?
They want to go and try it. They want to see how it'll go.
Okay.
Would you have a hamburger at Arby's?
I would. I do like hamburgers. I prefer them grilled by myself outside, but yes. Yes, I would try it, definitely. No doubt about it.
You know, Mayor, I know this is a busy month for you, busy year for you. Do you have any big Memorial Day plans coming up?
Well, you know, there's always some campaign events going on out there, so I will probably be attending a few of those, either locally or around the state. But Memorial Day is kind of a more of an opportunity to spend some time with family. Don't get that opportunity too often. Now that both girls are home from college and my wife is now done with school, so school's out for the summer. So a little family time, a little campaign time, and probably, hopefully, a little yard work. I do enjoy yard work. It's very therapeutic for me to get out in the yard for a couple hours and do some work.
You know, one of the big conversations we've had here on the station this week, and I think we have it pretty much every Memorial Day, or as we head into Memorial Day, do people still go out and decorate the tombstones? I don't think it's as much as it used to be.
You know, I would tend to agree with that. I know as a young child, a young man, that was something that my father was brought up doing. Regardless of whether it was a family member that served their country in the military service, but it was still a tradition to go out and plant the flowers around loved ones' grave sites. And that's a great question. I don't know. We certainly have not done that with our children, but I grew up with that tradition. My father grew up with that tradition, and I would have to say my mother as well. So maybe it's just a generational thing. The way we remember loved ones that have passed on is clearly different, I think, in many ways today than it was, you know, decades ago.
It's interesting to me because I think Marion still has a celebration memorial on Memorial Day. Caledonia has done one for years over there with the military, and people used to decorate their tombstones, I think, to make the cemetery look nice for those ceremonies. But I haven't been to one myself for a while, so I don't know if that still is something people do.
Yeah, I think in the past 2 years, if they've had a celebration here in town, it's been scaled back because of the pandemic. I do believe, and I've not been given any official notification on this, so please don't put it out that way, but I believe that the Memorial Day celebration this year is going to be at Veterans Park, which is, you know, just across the street from the Harding Memorial. You know, historically, traditionally, it's been at the World War II monument there in the cemetery, but I think they are moving it to Veterans Park just down the road a mile.
or less. You know, Mayor, it's interesting because, and I know that the third Thursday, I think, started last Thursday, and this is nothing mm-hmm. that you control, but I did see a lot of posts, and I think it was attended well last Thursday, but a lot of people were saying, you know, if more people knew about this stuff, I think more people would come. And like, you know, being on the radio, we used to get all kinds of press releases and faxes in the old days about things like Memorial Day events. But the communication is completely different now.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Technology, and you and I have talked about the variation of this subject from time to time over the years. Think about it. There was a point in time in our lifetimes where the daily newspaper had all the information that you needed. You would know about Third Thursday because it was not only announced prior to, but then there would usually be a front page story about the festivities that took place on Third Thursday. Same thing with Memorial Day, 4th of July, you know, Veterans Day. All important events, but they're not the Christmases and the Thanksgivings and the Easters. Folks just don't take that daily newspaper anymore, as we know. They tend to look at the device that they're holding in their hand, and most of that is more on the national side, the news feeds, wherever they get it from. And so people do, I think, miss out on the local news and the local events taking place. There's no doubt about it.
You know, Mayor, and this also applies to campaigns, but also just news. Do you think that I'm sure there is some erosion in local news without question, people who get the paper, so on and so forth. But do you think people even send the press releases to the paper or the radio stations anymore? Or do they think, well, if I go to the internet and talking politics, if I run my campaign off Facebook, that's enough, and I don't have to pay to do that. I don't know that reaches everybody.
I definitely think that's part of it, yes. It's oftentimes cheaper and or free, and it's also very easy. It's almost as we have become extra lazy when it comes to something like that. A lot of folks use Facebook, so I'm sure these events that you and I are talking about right now are posted somewhere on Facebook, but not everybody has friended one another on Facebook, so I don't know that everybody sees these types of events that we're speaking of. You know, Third Thursdays, just for example, have been going on for, what, 4, 5, 6 years now? It has grown and morphed into something much bigger, much more, entertaining, if you will, than the original Third Thursdays that we used to hold in parking lot A in downtown Marion, across from the Presbyterian Church. That's where the main stage for the Popcorn Festival has gone for, you know, well, every year, the Popcorn Festival. And so we've moved it over onto Main Street, which was a goal of mine working with Downtown Marion, Inc., to utilize that Main Street space between Church and Center Street as it develops and grows, and there's just more room, and it's much nicer. There's the green space there that we're really talking about developing. We hope by late this year we'll start putting some of the first amenities into Founders Park at the corner of South Main and Church Street. So, yeah, I don't know. It's seems to grow in popularity, but yet there are still folks that claim that they don't know what's going on. It's the third Thursday of every month, folks.
There you go. Downtown Marion.
From May to September, I think.
that's right. Well, you know, the final note on this is, I mean, we did get a press release on the dedication of Mary Ellen Withrow's museum at the Historical Society on June the 2nd from 4 to 7 p.m. But, you know, you look around on the internet and you look in the newspaper, and I think it was in the newspaper once in a column, but, you know, that would have been something hugely covered years ago.
Yeah, well, look, you know, the newspaper doesn't have the presence that it once had when I was growing up. You know, that's where you went for the high school sports. What if you wanted to know what was going on in high school sports? you generally went to the newspaper or another local radio outlet that, that covered local sports, you know, to the degree that no other has and currently is. I know that the mayor's office still sends out press releases because there are still some news agencies that will report on the things that we put out. A road closure in the city, maybe holiday hours coming up. I mean, we've got, as we're talking now, Memorial Day coming up. You know, City Hall's not going to be open on Memorial Day. We're going to close early on Friday, and there will certain services that will not be available the Monday of Memorial Day, and those are important to get out there.
Mayor, when we talk about things going on locally, I don't think there was any city council meeting last night. I think it was said for lack of new business was what we were told.
Yeah.
What's going on with city council?
So, you know, there just doesn't seem and appear to be a lot of activity taking place on the legislative side of city government. You know, things are... I hate to call them slow, but they're just moving along at a nice little clip. And from time to time in my tenure in municipal government, we have had to cancel committee meetings or a council meeting or two here and there. It is unusual. I know that June 6th, that's the first Monday in June. They're planning on having some committees. They've got some things to take care of. I'm sure Finance Committee will have, you know, bills to pay, appropriations to make, and there'll be some other committee called, I'm sure. But, you know, we're just kind of moving into a phase right now that everything is just, it seems to be getting done.
Is that a positive that we are on a steady pace, or would you like to see more things happening at this point?
You know, considering the tumultuousness that this council has gone through over the past couple, let's say 4 to 6 years, there have been a lot of new people that have come on, and you know how controversial council has been over the past 6 years. It is kind of nice to see a pace that is a little slower. I'm actually seeing more smiles on council members' faces during a council meeting or a committee meeting. I'm seeing that kind of little jovial humor come out in more council members, and it just makes it more pleasant to be at those council meetings than maybe what most of them have been like over the past 6 years. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know why it's taking place. You know, we are in the first 5 months after an election for new city council members last year. Things generally start to tame down a little bit. Usually we see that taming down start in February or March. We're now seeing it in May. So we'll see if it continues. That's the million-dollar question right now.
You know, City Councilman First Ward Kai Mead was on the show last week talking about the tree removal project here in Marion. That's a great project.
Yeah, we thought so. We had that additional, I don't know if it's CARES Act money or the ARPA money, but we have an ability to use that to cover some qualifiable expenses, which opened up an opportunity to have additional monies that we didn't have to put towards a particular line item. So, yeah, we thought it was great. We often get calls from folks wanting us to come take down a tree, and we often have to tell them, you know, that's technically, legally, their responsibility in the tree lawn, but here's a chance to get some of the more dangerous ones or the ones that are dead and dying. We're not going to come into your front yard. We're not going to go into your backyard and take down a tree. But if it's in the city's right of way, And the right-of-way can vary from street to street depending upon how that neighborhood or that street was laid out many years ago. For example, the right-of-way in my front yard probably comes in, you know, 10 feet or more, and that's because the utility lines run across the front of my house, and those utility poles are a long way off the edge of the pavement, and that means that there's the right-of-way somewhere in that area. So we have to be careful. We don't want folks to think that we're going to come into their front yard and take down a dead tree for them. That is their responsibility. But here's a case where we can do something in the city's right-of-way.
Another thing we talked about Kai with when he was on, because people are still curious about this, the ongoing fines from the previous auditor. Do we know at this point where the total lies, and could there be any more coming, any more fines, penalties?
Sure. We don't know the total fines. The current auditor has informed council that she is keeping a running list of fines and expenses incurred by the taxpayers to deal with these issues left by the most recent city auditor. And, you know, we haven't even gotten the final document from the 2020 audit yet. And that is so unbelievable that we haven't had our final, you know, public, you know, publication of an audit that took place throughout the late in 2020 and 2021, or 21 and 22, sorry, getting my 20s mixed up. The 2020 audit should have been finalized on or about July or August of last year. So when they get into the 2021 audit, I'm sure there will be other things that they will find that weren't done that should have been done. And it's just kind of unfortunately, a wait and see, and you just wait for that next shoe to drop, and we don't know what the final cost is of the incompetencies of the former auditor. That's unfortunate, but we don't know.
Now at this point, it is in upwards of $100,000, is it not?
I would say that's a good starting point, yeah.
Two questions have come out of this, and I just want to blow through these quick to give an update to the listening audience. The first one is, we heard a lot about the grants that the city would need to file for to get money for transit, senior center, and other things that the city operates with grant money, and you needed the finished budget to do that. Where does that all stand?
Great question. We missed the deadline. That's for certain. And so now we're just kind of waiting to see again what happens with the federal agencies that we deal with federal dollars with those departments that you just mentioned. Now, we don't think that anything will happen this year because we're into the 2022 budget and the federal funding has been, you know, allocated by the federal agencies and everything is set. I'm more concerned about the 23 budget, but sooner or later, that will catch up to us that we didn't meet that federal audit deadline.
And the other part of this, which is, it's kind of confusing. So if I say anything wrong here, straighten me out on this. Mm-hmm. That money, which is in upwards of $100,000 now, those fines, cannot be paid for out of tax dollars. There is a rule that says that can happen. Now, at this point, it's thought that the bond, that there is a bond that could cover this, but if it doesn't, it could be put on the person who made the mistakes, which would be the former auditor and possibly some people in that office. Is that the situation?
That is my understanding. And again, let me just stress to you and your listeners that this is unprecedented territory for Marion Municipal Government. So when we go into this unprecedented territory, we're all still kind of learning. And there are often nuances in the law. When you think you understand the law, then you have to make sure that there's no case law that contradicts but supports something of that nature. But as you just laid it out is the way I understand it as well.
Would you, if the bond doesn't cover it, would you recommend going after the person? Because that would be unprecedented.
I don't know that my recommendation would mean anything one way or the other. I think it's really at that point, if it comes out of a state audit, the state auditors would oftentimes recommend that to the state attorney general, and then the state attorney general may be in conjunction with local prosecutors, whether it be the city law director's office or the county prosecutor's office, would jointly go after and recover the money that was not covered by a bond. Now, again, that's just my interpretation of what may and could happen. We don't actually know because we've never been here before, but I would have, this country has an accountability problem, and we need to hold the person accountable that caused this mess for the taxpayers of the city of Marion.
Do you foresee that a bond would cover something like this, or is this just so unprecedented that we don't know?
Well, we do have case law that shows that similar situations have happened with local governments throughout the state of Ohio, and that's the case law that they would be looking at. They wouldn't go nationally and try and find case law. They'd look and see what's been done in Ohio in the past in regards to this or very similar situations, and case law supports the way you laid it out, that the bond would cover, whatever the bond is. Let's say it's a $100,000 bond, but then there's $150,000 owed. The bond would cover the first $100,000, and then the individual would cover the other additional $50,000. Now, the bonding company may also go after the individual legally for whatever reason, but that would be up to the bonding company to go after the individual.
To tie a knot in this particular subject, you said you thought that Transit Senior Center and the things funded by the grant money should be okay this year. Is there anything at this point that can be done because of the issues in the past to avoid anything happening at all with the deadline missed?
Ooh, wow, that is, I think that is the question that city elected officials will have to sit down and talk about in a council committee when the time comes. The problem is we're only halfway through this nightmare. We will be further through it when the 2021 audit is completed. Now, they should be, when I say they, the state auditors or an auditing company recommended by the state auditors, they should be starting on the 2021 audit here shortly if they haven't already started on it. Now, when that audit is done, and then they meet the Federal Audit Clearinghouse deadline, which is typically September 30th. So we got another deadline coming up this September 30th. The last deadline was postponed because of COVID. I think they kicked it from September 30 to March 30. And we still couldn't get the audit done from 2020 in a timely manner for the deadline of March 30. Here we are May, 24th, I think we are at now. So we're way behind the deadline, but yet this next audit comes on the heels of the 2020 audit. And then the next one will be the 2022 audit, which will be done in 23. So we're always about a year behind. So we don't know what the 21 audit will expose. We now kind of have a clue based upon the 2020 audit, on what was not done that should have been done and was the responsibility of the former disgraced city auditor.
Want to turn to the fire levy here. This has made a lot of news recently. We had Chuck Deem on here a couple weeks ago talking about this. Levy will go on the fall ballot to build a new fire station that they think would be in front of the hospital in some land on some land that the city owns. Do you think this is necessary, a good idea, this levy?
Well, look, I have long said that the taxpayers have more than gotten their money's worth out of a 110-year-old firehouse. And I've been in that firehouse many times over my tenure in municipal government. And yes, I think it's time to modernize the Marion City Fire Department. The fire apparatus are not getting any smaller from the days when the original one was built with horse-drawn fire apparatus. So there are issues and concerns about equipment. We had a, I'll call it a crack in the floor. It's not the first crack that we've had in that floor because of the age and the weight of the equipment that we use in the modern firefighting era. So yeah, unfortunately, if we don't do it now, then somebody in another 5, 10, 15, or 20 years is going to have to do it. This firehouse, 110 years old, you can't use it forever. Not for this. It's used 24/7. Firefighters rotate in and out of there. I think we're up to 63 firefighters. So 63 firefighters are rotating out of there 24/7, 365. And it's time. I'm sorry to say it's time. And if you wait another 10, 20 years, it's not going to get any cheaper. There's never a good time to do something like this. You know, Chuck Deem and I, Chief Deem and I, and the safety director, Andy Carrier, and Chief Deem put a small team together from the fire department. We wanted to do this early in 22, but early in 22, we didn't know that we were going to be going headfirst into a, we'll call it a 2-year pandemic. And we all said, you know, pandemic's not a good time to go after a fire levy. And here we are 2 years later, with inflation in the way it is and fuel prices the way they are and food prices, it's not going to get any better. You're not going to find the best time to do a fire levy. So you might as well go out there and ask the voters, and then you'll figure out what they want.
Why do you think levies have been so hard to pass for schools? Township Fire, I believe, had one a few years ago to put a new fire station on 95 to cut down on the call time. They fail, and they seem to fail by large margins in main elections.
Yeah, I think the voters have the choice on whether they want to pay more, in this case, property taxes, when you talk about schools and fire levies and park levies and libraries and MRDD, children's services, things like that. Those are all property levies. And so voters have a choice, and they're saying no. And they're not just saying no here in Marion City, Marion County. They're saying no more across the state of Ohio. And I think we need to look to our state government, because our state government isn't adequately funding those agencies or school systems in the manner that they should be. So the school district has to, what we seems like, come back to us every other year for a levy, because they're not appropriately funding it at the state level. The DeRolf decision in the Ohio Supreme Court came down in the early 90s that said that the state is not appropriately funding the schools in Ohio. So it's been ruled unconstitutional, but what does that mean? That was in the early 90s. You know, today we have the Supreme Court ruling gerrymandered maps unconstitutional. Well, what does it mean? We're still going to get a gerrymandered map here, I think, or later on this week. So, yeah, you have to keep going back in the form of a levy to get what you need to continue to provide the service because the state doesn't do what they're supposed to do.
Police Chief Jay McDonald in the last, I believe, month and a half made an interesting statement that made the local newspaper, and we talked about it on air, that Marion, I mean, we have a crime problem, but it's not the main problem, that really what we have is a self-esteem problem. How did you feel about the chief's comments?
Look, I've said that for years. There's no doubt about it, that we are often our own worst enemies as Marionites. We're often like crabs in a bucket pulling each other down to the bottom. You know, I think, yes, we do have that problem. And that is an issue that, excuse me, that, you know, I guess I have been trying to counteract in my tenure as a councilman and as a mayor. But unless there are more people trying to counteract that, then we'll continue to have a self-esteem problem.
Why is that? Why does Delaware not have that, Upper Sandusky not have that, but Marion have that? What caused that?
Look, I don't think it's fair for us to sit here and say that other communities don't have the same problem. Sometimes they do, but we don't pay attention to it because we're more concerned about our own self-esteem problem. You know, I over the years in municipal government, I've heard so many people say, well, we need to be more like Delaware. That's something that we hear all the time, and we hear it quite frequently. I think we just need to continue to try and be better than what we are, and that is what we need to do. And look, there are many agencies and many people in this community, city, county, township, that try and do that. But it's so easy to just, it's like the nattering nabobs of negativism, to quote, I think that was Spiro Agnew, that it's easy to complain. It's a lot harder to get out there and change what you're complaining about.
We have about 7 minutes left here with the mayor, and I do want to talk about the election, the primary that we had on May the 2nd. A lot of interesting things came out of that statewide and even locally here. And a matter of fact, tomorrow morning we will have the answer on who will be running on the Republican side for county commissioner. 44 votes separate Dr. Davis from Ken Stiverson. There were 81 absentee, 90 provisional ballots that will be counted within the next 24 hours, and we'll have the results first thing in the morning tomorrow. But, Mayor, what did you make? That's an uncommon thing to be going into a day like tomorrow in which the incumbent is not in the lead here in a primary.
Well, you know, we saw a very I will just make a comparison in the Republican governor's race. You know, I think it's been, what, decades since a sitting incumbent Republican was challenged by his own party. I just think it shows that the voters, they have a different mindset today than they did 10 years ago. To see the local Republican Party have two challengers to an incumbent, I can't recall seeing that here locally. That's very unusual. It's surprising to see something like that.
We do want to talk very quickly about the gubernatorial primary. We now know it will be current Governor Mike DeWine facing off against the Democrat Nan Whaley, which was historic, the first woman ever nominated by a major party to run for governor here in Ohio. But the interesting thing about this primary, there are two things, really, and we'll start with the first one. The Republicans turned out almost double the numbers, I believe. I don't have the exact number, but it was almost double what Democrats turned out in the primary. Is that a bad sign as we head into the fall?
Well, I think we need to look at the Senate Republican primary and the gubernatorial Republican primary. they were very competitive races, both of them. And millions and millions of dollars were expended for those, we'll call them almost a dozen candidates between the two races, to try and win their party's nomination. When you're spending, I don't know, I'm just going to take a wild guess, somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 million plus to turn out Republican votes, then yeah, their vote turnout is going to be higher. They had a lot more to choose from in their primaries than what the Democrats did in their primaries. Tim Ryan had a Democratic primary, but it really wasn't a big challenge for Tim Ryan to win his primary. Nan had a primary, as we know, but it turns out, looking at the results, that it really wasn't much of a primary at all either. So the two gubernatorial candidates on the Democratic side didn't spend millions of dollars against each other to win their nomination from their party. That Tim Ryan didn't have to expend millions of dollars. So between the two of those races on the Democratic side, I'd be surprised if they spent $10 million. I'd be shocked if they both spent together $10 million. But on the Republican side, I would not be shocked if you told me they spent over 50, upwards of $75 to $100 million to try and win their party's nomination. An obscene amount of money was being spent in the Republican primaries. Absolutely obscene amounts. And that just shows you what money can do in those races. That's my answer for a greater turnout on the Republican side than the Democratic side.
One of the takeaways from primary night on the state level, and we look at the gubernatorial race in this, because as you said, I believe it's 130 years since an incumbent governor had been primaried. DeWine walked away with 48% of the vote. But something that was shocking was of the 88 counties in Ohio, in a Republican primary, that Joe Blystone, a man with no political experience, a man whose beliefs I think were much more to the right of Mike DeWine than more Republican issues, I guess would say at this point, won 22 counties, a quarter of the counties in that Republican primary. What does that say about those rural counties? And they were rural, but a lot of them around here, Wyandotte, Richland, Morrow County, all went to Blystone. Those counties where the Democrats have to do better to win elections statewide.
Well, I think it shows that there's a crack that Democratic gubernatorial and senatorial campaigns need to exploit.
Did Blystone shock you? Did you think he would do that well?
I probably didn't follow Blystone as close as, you know, maybe what you did. I know you had him on the show a couple times. I caught just a very little bit of it. I don't know that I'm shocked by anything in American politics anymore.
The final question for you, Mayor, before we let you go, and we appreciate the time, but Jim Renacci, who finished second in that primary, came on this show. I think you heard that interview about a week before the election, and said he would not support DeWine. He couldn't do that. If he didn't win that primary, he didn't know what he was going to do. And he came on the week after the primary and said he had spoken to Governor DeWine and said, if you need anything, let me know. Is that politics? Is that what people get angry, the political world, about? They say, well, that's why we don't like that. We don't like this game.
Yeah, I think so. The reason I listened to him pre-primary is I think I was on just after you had him on.
Right.
So I was listening. That is not unusual. I do also think that I heard Blystone say pre-primary on your show that he would be moving out of the state if he lost. But it'd be interesting to see here in the next few weeks and months if we start seeing for sale signs go up on Blystone property that he'll be moving out of the state. I don't think either one of those statements were true pre-primary. What you saw Renacci do was not uncommon, not unusual in the world of politics at that level.
Mm. Mayor, happy Memorial Day. Happy safe travels on the campaign trail. And we'll talk. It'll be summer next time we talk. It'll be after June 21st.
Hey, all right. Well, thank you very much. And everybody have a safe Memorial Day weekend. And check on your neighbors over the weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Bye-bye. All right, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP.